He's able. I want to welcome you to Cornerstone Apostolic Church, located at 524 East Pasadena Avenue, Pasadena Street, in the city of Pomona. Where Jesus is Lord, we do believe that God is able. If you don't give up on God, He certainly will not give up on you. Others may have given up on you, but God has never given up on you. He said, I'm with you, even until the end of the world. He said, I've lost none. I haven't lost any. All that is in His hand is still there. The only way we can exit from the hand of God is if we should try to jump out. But God's hand is so big that I believe that it is difficult to even do that. So we want to encourage your hearts this morning to know that God is able. Bless you, Lord God. We're praying for you. We're praying that the Lord will bless you, that the Lord will help you in your endeavors, but most of all, to the saving of your soul. Because heaven and earth will pass away and everything that is in it. You buy a new car today, it's old tomorrow. You buy something that's made and it rusts. Termites eat it up. Everything lets us know that it's temporary. Everything is temporary. If you hadn't thought about it, it's temporary. You get $100 a day, you spend it, you have $5 left. It's temporary, unless you're being budgeting wise. And the best thing to do is to budget the salvation of your soul. Make sure that you go all out and that you give God 100%. Amen. I want to direct your attention this morning to the book of Romans. And this is where we're going to start at, and want to go forth in the word of God. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Certainly the Lord is blessing us. The Lord has kept us. The Lord has done marvelous. He's done things for us that couldn't nobody else do. And He is continuing to do those things. You have to allow God to do some things for you. The Bible said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. I pray that you're hungry and that you're thirsty for righteousness this morning. I pray that when you pray, that you will believe in your heart that it's already done and that you will rejoice about it. Now, make sure that when you pray that your prayer lines up with the will of God. I have, and this is not what I'm not going to spend time here this morning, but I had an opportunity to meet some people and was talking with them, and they thought that the boy that they had met was an angel from God, and I had to tell them, no, he's not. He's a panty pirate. They met a girl, and they thought that she was it, and that she was an angel from God. No, she wasn't. She was a gold digger. And so make sure that when you pray, that when you seek God, that you seek God for the things that are pertaining, that is going to be soulful for you, that are going to help you, that are going to nourish your soul, not your gratification. You'll be satisfied when you learn and understand what you need to be satisfied with. Bless your Lord. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter, it said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. There's freedom in the law, that in the Spirit of the law and the life which has been displayed by Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The book of Romans is considered one of Paul's greatest epistles. Those of you that read your Bible, and you read the epistles and writing of Paul, this one is considered to be one that is very weighty. It explains a lot about the law and grace. The Roman church was one that was known for its distinctiveness of faith. The true theme of the book is that of righteousness and justification. It speaks of the answers, some of the most challenging topics in which Paul has addressed and was not hesitant to confront. It's through faith. You have to have faith in what God has done, the completed work. Paul goes to great length to show a new perspective on which God provides concerning life after the law. He didn't do away with the law, but the Bible tells us that he came to fulfill the law so that we can understand what the law was about. Many have had the law and have quoted the law throughout the scripture and even some today, but they don't know anything about grace and truth. Jesus came with grace and truth. He came to have an understanding about the law, what was meant. Even in our natural law, there's a spirit even behind the natural law, that you don't just run out because you see the law quote something. You have to understand the elements of that. And so the Bible tells us that the law killeth, but the Spirit brings life. Paul wanted them to understand and to know the difference between the law. And we know that Paul himself was an educated man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he sat at the feet of a prominent teacher and learned and understood it. He studied to show himself approved. But when he met Jesus, it don't matter how high the level of education might be. When you meet Jesus, you'll find out that it don't mean very much. Paul said that my teaching and all that I learned, I counted as being done. I counted no more than just being a pile of manure, a pile of crap, because based upon the law and based upon what grace and truth have revealed to me, I have been traveling down the wrong path. I studied, and that's good, to go to college. That's good to study and take on a profession. It's good to be certified. It's good to do those things. But though none of those things take the place of Jesus Christ. None of those things will, and that's why Paul persecuted the church. When Jesus was crucified and they were preaching Jesus, and he thought they were running around with a heretic doctrine and carrying on, and so he crucified and took them and threw them in lion dens and had them get citations and permission to go after those that called upon the name of Jesus because he thought they were wrong. But one day, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he said that there was a light that shone, and that light was so bright, it knocked him off his beast. Sometimes God has to knock us down so that we can get up. And so it knocked him off his beast, and he began to pray. Lord, who art thou? I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus, whom you're crucifying. It's hard to kick against a prick. It's hard to kick against something that is spiked because it will cause you pain. And Paul found out from that moment that Jesus was real. Somebody needs to find out Jesus is real today. You don't have to get, you might have to get knocked off your beast and you might have to be brought, but you will find out Jesus is real. That's not everybody's testimony and that won't be for everybody. But thank God that he knows how to get our attention. God knows just what to do to get your attention. And so the Bible tells us that if we should, that there is now no condemnation. I want you to understand something this morning, that for those that the baptized believers, there is no condemnation when you walk in the Spirit. For those that are praying and seeking God, when you walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. He said, now, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Right now, at this very moment, there's no condemnation. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow hasn't come yet. There's no condemnation. And while you exist, this is what I love about the Lord Jesus. When Jesus was crucified, And when he said it's finished, the Bible said that the temple, the veil in the temple was torn. And so the exit, the entrance into the Holy of Holies was made accessible for everybody. Paul said, now we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go in and ask God for forgiveness. And somebody need to ask God for forgiveness today. Somebody need to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. And not only say I'm sorry, but make that change. See, saying I'm sorry and then going out doing it tomorrow is not really sorry. And so we pierce ourselves with many sorrows when we do not repent. When we do not tell God, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that no more, and then practice what we say. Well, I want to go on a little further here because that was just the beginning of what Paul was writing. He said, for those of you walking after the Spirit, that you are no longer condemned, that you're going to have a life of peace, a life that is going to be full of what God has intended for you. And so, you know, as we go on this journey, we find out that there are those that work and fight against us. I hear many people on the radio, ministers and preachers and different ones that are on the air and people that are talking about the new administration. Why are we spending time talking about the new administration when the Bible plainly tells us for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down evil imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why are we trying to attack an individual when the word of God plainly says that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds? In other words, this is a spiritual warfare. In other words, we have to spend some time in neology. How many are praying for the current administration? Because he's not going to resign, and you're not going to make him get out of office because you set yourself on fire, or because you now go on a fast and stop eating, or because you stand up and condemn the man. How about the fact that the word of God says that the heart of the king is in God's hand? If we make our appeal to God, if the nation, if the people that are called by God's name should pray, the Bible says, and humble themselves, that God would heal the land. Why don't we put God through the test? Why don't we prove God with some prayer? We like to get up and talk about proving God with an offering. Why don't we prove God with some prayer and fasting? Why don't we prove God with some obedience? Why don't we prove God with some standing in his word and casting our cares upon him so that we get God's attention? Bless your name, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody may not like what I'm saying, but it don't matter. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. The word of God says it. It said casting down imaginations. If you want an imagination cast down, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to go into some spiritual warfare. If you want the thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you're going to have to go into some spiritual warfare. If you want to bring something into captivity, you're going to have to go into some spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And some of the words that we're using and some of the things that we're saying across the media, some of the things that are being said to in our privacy of our homes and being said to others are carnal. But what about the spiritual side of it? For the Bible plainly points out to us that we're walking in the flesh. We're physically here. We do not war after the flesh. We're not taking up arms. We're not setting fires. We're not busting windows. We're not doing those idiotic things. But we are acknowledging the fact that we are fighting a spiritual warfare. Bless you, Lord God. And so there's something that we have to do. There's something that people are overlooking. There's something that even that the church is missing out on. Now, that may not be everybody, but somebody's missing out on this. Because the word of God says, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The first thing is that we all must fulfill our obedience. That's why the scripture says that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves, we have to fulfill our obedience. What is it that we have to do? Be obedient. Bless you, Lord. Let me say it again for somebody. They may have missed it. We have to be obedient. We have to walk according to the word of God. The Bible said, the Lord said, if you love me, do what? Somebody forgot this. The Lord said, if you love me, that there's something that you would do. And somebody forgot. They thought that I love the Lord, that God will give me, he'll be my genie in a bottle. No, the Bible said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to do what I say to do. Well, the word of God points out to us that since our warfare is not what we're fighting against, it's not carnal. He said, finally, brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord. We're not going to be strong in our political, in our on the job and outstanding in other places and not be strong in the Lord. We've got to be strong in all areas. So we want to be strong in the Lord, first off, and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When the devil is throwing things at you, you want to be able to stand. When the enemy is coming up against you and influencing others, we want to be able to stand. When they say bad things against you, you want to be able to stand. You can't always defend yourself. Sometimes you have to just allow, because we have a shield. That's why the Bible talks about the shield of faith, because there's some things that are going to be said against you and it's going to have to bounce off the shield. You're going to have to use the armory that God gives. And so the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It said, put on the whole armor of God. So not only are we going to exercise to be strong in God, but we're going to have to put on the armor of God. Somebody may have taken the armor off, thinking that they're all right. I can relax a little bit. I'll take the armor off. I'm going to set it aside. But you have to put the armor on, and you have to be ready to, when your obedience is fulfilled, to avenge the disobedience. And so you're going to need the armor of God on. It said, put on the whole armor of God, not part of it. You're not just going to put on the shoes today and shout around the church, but you need to put on the whole armor of God. You're not just going to put on the helmet of salvation and stand up and show how much knowledge that you have. You need the whole armor of God in order to fight against the wiles of the enemy, in order to be able to stand against what the devil throw up. It said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're not wrestling against the man that you see, that woman that you see. We're not wrestling and fighting against them. But there are principalities and power. There are those things that he said that there are principalities and power and rulers of darkness in this world that we're fighting against. We're fighting. Let me just use this as an illustration. You're fighting on Friday nights about 8 o'clock, and I believe they season just in. But the Grimm is up in Portland, and he's fighting against things that the natural eye don't normally see. He's fighting against things that people don't see, but yet has taken advantage of them. You need to understand there are some things that you don't see that will take advantage of you because you're fighting against the wrong element. You're fighting against a person and it's a spirit. You're fighting. You think that if that person cussed you out or they said something bad about you or they're mean to you or they're not doing something that you would like them to do or they're doing something you wish they would stop doing. You're not fighting against that individual. You're not fighting against that child. You're not fighting against that parent or that husband or that wife. You're not fighting against it. But there is an influence that has entered in. There's something in the elements. There's something in the atmosphere that the enemy has put out. The prince of the air has influenced the one that you're dealing with. When the apostle, when Paul and them had was over in Acts, the sons of Sceva saw what was going on, that they went in and tried to cast out devils like they saw the disciples do. Bless your Lord. Yes, we still believe in casting out devils. We still believe that they're demonic powers. Maybe you have forgotten that. Maybe you have not been told that the devil and fallen angels, demons, are real. So the sons of Sceva went and they tried to mimic what they saw the disciples do. And the people that was there that was possessed, the Bible said it jumped on them and it beat them down, snatched their clothes off of them, caused them to run out the house naked. But the spirits that spoke to them also and said, Paul, and we know them. We know the disciples, call them by name, but we know Jesus Christ, but we don't know you. You're, in other words, you're nobody. You're nothing. You don't have any power. You saw someone else do something and you're trying to mirror that, but it don't work without being steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work and the will of the Lord. You have to be in the will of God. Bless your name, Jesus. In order to bring down that stronghold, you've got to be in the will of God in order to bring down that evil imagination. Now, understand something here that the scripture tell us plainly. It says that we're not fighting. Our warfare is not a carnal warfare. And so it's going to be mighty through the power of God to the pulling down a stronghold. The casting down of imagination. So I want you to understand something here. That the first imagination that needs to be brought subject is yours. The first stronghold that needs to be brought down is yours. Whatever your imagination is running off with. Just my imagination. Yeah. Running away with you. It needs to be reeled back in. It needs to be brought into subjection. Then the thing that causes you to exalt yourself against God and give yourself permission. Oh, bless your Lord God. See, the thing about the word of God is it works for the bishop. It works for the overseer. It works for the elders. It works for the pastor, the minister, evangelist, everyone that has a title. It goes from the podium all the way to the back door, down the stairs into the parking lot. Across the street, everybody that calls themselves a Christian should be working to bring down every imagination. What imagination crossed my mind this week that need to be brought down that would have caused me, or maybe it did cause you to get out the will of God? What imagination, what was it that played in my mind that caused me to dismiss myself from a duty or an obligation that I had unto God? What was it? Everything that exalted itself, what caused me to exalt myself and to put myself above my prayer time or put myself above my study time? What exalted itself in my life that caused me to dismiss some personal time, some intimate time with God? What acknowledged, what brought itself up? What is holding me captive? See, there's some things that are holding people captive this morning. They're sitting in church. People are going to be singing in tongues. And people are going to be dancing, feeling the quickening of God's power. And then leave the service held captive. One day I was out with someone and they ran across, it was a young man, and We were on our way into the store, and they ran across some friends. But they didn't know that I was with the young man because I was a few paces behind because I had just parked the car. And no sooner than they saw me, they said, oh, there's my name. Don't you know that's how the enemy is? He will escort you to church. He don't care if you go to church today. Bless you, Lord God. He don't care if you go to the service and sing your favorite song, sing in the choir, and get your shando on and have your praise break, because he's sitting outside the door waiting for you so when you come out, hey, there's my name. Because there's a stronghold upon your life. You ought to pray, Lord, I don't want a stronghold on my life. I don't want anything that is going to be controlling me. I don't need a stronghold. I don't need anything that is going to be holding me captive. I don't want that arresting me. It's a very good commercial that they illustrate about cigarettes. How the young man is at his prom and he's dancing with the young lady, but there is a spirit that has the smoking spirit that grabs him and yanks on him and pulls on him till he finds himself outside smoking a cigarette. Young man being dragged through the hall of the school on his back by something, and when he gets outside, it's a cigarette. So that's a stronghold. There's strongholds that have us that we can't wait until we're at a certain place because we want to satisfy the craving or satisfy that stronghold that's controlling us. We can't do anything right. If we could diss work, if we could miss church, if we could get away from our family for a moment because of the stronghold. Now, only you know what that stronghold is unless the spirit of discernment speaks up and tells me or tells the minister what has a stronghold on you that needs to be broken. And you got to be willing to say, Lord, I surrender. I'm surrendering. I don't want this stronghold. I don't want to be bound by these chains that's holding me captive. There was a man that was in the graveyard. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They had bound him with fetters, the Bible says. He would be running around naked, and people were scared of him. He met Jesus. Jesus got off the boat and was passing by and began to talk to the man. And I'm not going through all the story, but the Bible says that when the people came out and saw him, he was sitting there loose, clothed, in his right mind, talking to Jesus. Some of us are just like that man that was in the graveyard, bound with friends, running around naked. Then you think you're clothed. You think you're all right. You think there's no stronghold on you, but something has you bound. Bless you, Lord. In captivity. We have to bring that into the obedience of Christ Jesus. I'm just about finished here. We have to bring that into the captivity of Jesus Christ. We have to bring every thought to obedience. We have to, church, we have to bring every thought, everything. That's where it starts at. As a man thinketh, so is he. However I'm thinking, that's how I'm going to act. If I'm thinking I'm a failure, I'm going to act like a failure. If I think that I'm that thing, whatever that thing is that you think you are, you're going to act that way. We have to bring the thoughts into subjection and into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Then I believe that there is a buildup of power. I believe that there is a buildup of strength. I believe that there is a buildup of wisdom and knowledge that when we bring things into subjection, that as we bring those things down, God replaces it with something new, so that the glass is not empty, so that the house is not just swept clean and garnished, but God fills it up with what we need, so that we can properly fight the warfare. Oh, bless you, Lord God. My God. That's how people are helped. I don't want nobody laying their hands on me to pray for me and they walking around in captivity. I don't want nobody laying their hands on me, praying for me, standing by me. Oh, bless you, Lord God. Doing all the wrong things, evil imagination, evil thoughts. Oh, exalting himself against God. It's all about them. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's about how well they can preach, how they can prophesy, what they can do. And it's not about Jesus Christ at all. Making a name for themselves. I'm branding myself. Listen, your name is not going to bring about salvation. Jesus spoke these words to someone. He said, listen here. People are going to stand in that day and say, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did this, that, and the other in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Yes, you did it in my name. It was my name that did the work. But you never humbled yourself. You never brought yourself into subjection. You continued it with evil imagination and exalted yourself against God. By thinking it's you, I'm somebody. Oh, bless you, Lord God. We have to be careful. This is about the deliverance of souls. This is about helping people. Those of you that know you need help, and those that don't know. See, Paul, who wrote this, Paul, who was ministering this, thought that he was all right, and then found out he wasn't. Somebody today think they're all right, and they're really not. Deep down in your heart, you know it's not all right. You know, deep down in your heart, that you're fighting a warfare against flesh, not realizing that this is a spiritual warfare, and it's going to require the help of God Almighty to bring things into subjection. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Let me just read that to help you out. Let me just finish up with that patch of scripture. I know I'm on your time. I'm not going to bore your patience, but listen. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. After you've done everything to stand. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, sometime in standing, you need someone to stand with you. Sometime in standing. You know, the military has it, no man left behind. Sometimes you might have to help a brother, help a sister, carry somebody to help them stand. See, support. Support helps us stand. We're helpers one to another. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual. I don't need an unspiritual person trying to. I need someone that know how to pray. I need someone that is spiritual minded, considering themselves to help. We are helpers one to another. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. You're your sister's keeper. Yes. You are keepers. You are helpers one to another. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Might be just a listening ear. It might just be somebody to hold your hand, give you a hug. It might just be somebody that you can call upon at the time of need that's not going to try to tell you anything. They're just there that gives you strength. Somebody will say, you know what, let's not talk about it. Let's pray about it right now. Take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. You need some truth. And have on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Raising hell is not peace. Telling somebody off is not peace. The Bible said that we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able, you will be able to stand. Put on the whole armor of God. God has guaranteed, thank you, Lord. You put this on, you're guaranteed to be able to withstand what the enemy has brought against you. He don't have a device that can hurt you. You've heard it quoted. You've heard it said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You have on, and when Isaiah quoted that, he did not have the description of the armor of God on, but he was standing in the righteousness of God. You have now been, the armor of God has been revealed to you. So now you know what you're wearing and what it does for you. The shield of faith is able to quench all, bear that in your mind, all the fiery darts of the wicked. And since the shield of faith is able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked, then what bothers us? Is it because we're looking at the shield and we see the fiery darts on there? Does that frighten you? I'm just asking. Because sometimes we get under attack and we're being bombarded. And we walk as if we feel the pain of what is being, of what is happening. Well, let me help you out here. You can have on the armor, and you will have on the armor, but you also will feel the impact. But it's not going to destroy you. So, our men in blue, beige. Some were blue, some were beige. They wear vests. And there's certain grades of vest. And the armor, the bullet hits the armor, and it does not pierce the vest, but it does leave a bruise. Ouch. It doesn't mean that you won't feel the impact, but it will not destroy you. I hope that helps somebody. Because see, too long they said, well, you're not going to feel that. No, yes, you do feel some things. Their equipment, the construction worker wears a particular set of boots. And the boots have a steel toe in it. So that if you drop a brick, it does not break your toe. This is quality material that God has given us. Quality. If you go out and buy the cheap stuff and you drop a brick, you might find that your toe has now become part of the shoe. So you don't want the cheap stuff. You want the quality. And God has given us quality. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is not for you to use against someone else and to hurt someone else. But the word of God is to help somebody. Somebody might need a word. Certainly, when we come to church, we come because we want to hear the word. Don't want to hear gossip, but we want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which feeds our soul. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Bless you, Lord God. I'm going to stop with that. Let's be prayerful. I believe that prayer is what sharpens the sword, is what keeps the shoes and the armor polished. Let's be prayerful, one for another, that God keep us, that we live peaceful lives lives that are not condemned because we were obedient to the word of God. Let's continue to pray for one another. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.